ignoring the old way. Luke 5, verse 12 to 6, verse 11. When Jesus was in one of the cities of the region of Galilee, there was a man with a flesh-eating disease that was slowly destroying his body, symbolic of the destructive power of civilization. Seeing Jesus, he fell to his face, begging him, "If you desire to do so, I know you are able to rescue me and bring me into the Creator's community." Jesus then broke the law of his culture by reaching out and touching this diseased man, saying, "I want to. You are now set free from the destruction of civilization and are part of the Creator's community." Immediately, the man was healed, set free, and welcomed into the Creator's community. Jesus then again broke the law of his culture by not waiting for the temple caretaker to come out to inspect the man. Instead, Jesus sent him into the city and directed him to tell no one, saying, "Go into the city to show your healed condition to the temple caretaker and then offer the gift for your healing just as Moses commanded as a witness against their oppressive and unloving ways." But Jesus could not keep news of this incident contained, and even more rumors and reports about him began spreading. Many crowds of those who were on the bottom of society gathered to listen to Jesus' teachings and be rescued from oppression. But needing to rest and recharge, Jesus frequently went back to the wilderness to listen to the voice of his heavenly Father and be filled with his strength. On one of the days that Jesus was teaching the crowd, some members of the political party, the Pharisees, and some teachers of the law of Moses had come from Galilee, Judea, and even from Jerusalem to see him. These authorities were sitting and watching while Jesus was filled with the Creator's healing and liberating power. Meanwhile, some men were carrying their paralyzed friend on a cot, and they were trying to get him into the sight of Jesus. Unable to get him through the crowd to Jesus, they went up on the roof of the building, pulled out the roof tiles, and then let their friend down on his cot into the middle of the room. Seeing the paralyzed man's friends and their love, devotion, and trust in the Creator, Jesus said to him, "You have been set free from your spiritual and social bondage." The biblical scholars and those from the political party of the Pharisees began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who is insulting our society and its structures? Who is able to free a person from spiritual and social bondage apart from our temple and its sacrificial and priestly system? That is the only place where the Creator works." Seeing their frustration and anger, Jesus said to them, "What is going on in your hearts? Which is easier to say? You have been set free from your spiritual and social bondage? Or get up and walk. But in order that you may know that the human one and his community have authority over the earth to bring spiritual and social freedom," Jesus then turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Get up, pick up your cot and walk home, for the Creator's spiritual healing has made you physically whole." Immediately, the paralyzed man stood up in front of everyone, picked up his cot, and walked home while praising the power and goodness of the Creator. All those watching were beside themselves. They began praising the power and goodness of the Creator, but they were also filled with great fear, saying, "Today we witness things that make us question everything we think we know and all that we are comfortable with." When he was finished there, Jesus left the house and saw a powerful, wealthy, and yet very hated tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. Jesus said to him, "Drop everything and follow me." So Levi stood up, left everything of his old life behind, and began following Jesus. Levi then threw a great party for Jesus in his house, and there was a crowd of many tax collectors and other social outcasts who were dining with them. The members of the political party of the Pharisees and their biblical scholars began complaining to Jesus' apprentices, saying, "Why are you breaking our laws by eating and drinking with tax collectors and social outcasts who disobey the Creator?" Answering, Jesus said to them, "A healthy person doesn't need a doctor. Only a sick person does. Therefore, I'm not calling those who already live in the Creator's justice to transform. Instead, I am here to call those who live outside the Creator's ways to radically change their hearts, minds, and lives." Then they said to Jesus, "John the Baptist's apprentices and the members of the political party of the Pharisees keep our society's law by observing the appointed times of going without food in the hope that the Creator will return to us. But your apprentices ignore this and go around partying whenever they can." But Jesus said to them, "The guests of a wedding must party and celebrate when the long-awaited groom finally arrives. Indeed, the celebration of the Creator's return is upon us. But yes, The days will come when I, the groom, will be taken away from my apprentices, and then in that time they will have good reason to mourn and go without food. Jesus then began teaching them with an analogy, saying, No one sews a new piece of unshrunk cloth onto an old piece of clothing, because when it is washed, the new patch will shrink and tear away from the old cloth, making things even worse than before. The new cannot fit with the old. Likewise, no one pours new wine into already stretched wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the old and brittle wineskins, and the new wine will be lost along with the wineskins. Old and new cannot be mixed. New teachings and ways of life cannot be patched onto old structures, institutions, and ways of doing and seeing things. When the new comes, there must be a total rebuild from the ground up. New wine must be put into new wineskins. Yet people will passionately resist change, even when it is for their good. They will just stay in their familiar and old ways because they are comfortable. On one Sabbath, Jesus was walking through some grain fields while his poor and hungry apprentices were breaking the Sabbath law by picking, rubbing, and eating heads of grain. Some of the members of the political party of the Pharisees were watching this and said, Why are you doing what is illegal on the sacred day of rest? A person could be lawfully killed for breaking the Sabbath. Answering, Jesus said to them, Have you not read what David, your most beloved ruler, did when he and those with him were hungry? He entered into your sacred temple and took the bread set aside for the Creator. He ate this bread, which is illegal for anyone to eat except for the temple caretakers, and he gave it to those with him. Jesus began saying to them, The Sabbath was made to serve humanity, the animals, and the land. Humans were not made to serve the Sabbath. Therefore, the human one and his community are in charge of the Sabbath. On another sacred day of rest, Jesus came into the synagogue in order to teach the Creator's way of life. A man there had a withered right hand, a symbol of being powerless in civilization. The biblical scholars and the members of the political party of the Pharisees were hanging around Jesus in order to see if he was healing people on the Sabbath. They were looking for a way to get him in trouble and even put him to death. Jesus perceived what they were up to and said to the man with the withered hand, Rise and stand in the middle so everyone can see you. The man stood up. Then Jesus said to those gathered, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath meant to rescue life or to destroy it? After looking around at all of them, Jesus said to the man, Extend your hand. As soon as the man obeyed Jesus' word, his hand was restored to full health. Seeing this, the authorities were furious because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath but didn't do anything technically to find his work in the process. So the authorities began plotting among themselves how they could come up with a way to destroy Jesus.